So I'm going to teach on biblical evangelism this morning. But mostly I want us to look together at the passage. The passage we're going to look at is Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read 23 to 31. But before we start, I'm going to teach you what's called the Discovery Bible Method. If any one of you heard about it, from it. Okay. You know about it? Have any one of you participated or done it? Okay. There's some of you that have engaged. I just want to go through it that you understand. So, the Discovery Bible Method is specially, it was formulated for Muslim areas. Okay. And I don't know. So, you're going to, it's a simple method. The first question, who can tell me the first question? Yes?
To retell the story.
Okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to read through the passage. We'll start this side. And you always will work from left. She will read, and Alpha will read the next verse, and we'll go like this, always from left, until we get to the end of the passage. Okay. At the end of the passage, I'll reread the passage. Okay. And then we're going to tell the story, what is happening, in your own words. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, so it's very simple. Then, the first question after you've retell the story, what's the next question? Yes?
What stood out for you?
Okay, what did you like about the passage? Okay? The second question.
What was difficult?
Yeah, what is difficult to understand in the passage? Okay? It's not too complicated, the study method. And then, what do you learn about God? What do you learn about man? Okay, and I've made, in Africa, I'm going to take the last second last question. What you have learned, what must change in your life? Application. Okay, something must change. Either the way we do evangelism, and in this passage we're going to learn also about prayer. Okay, maybe the way we're going to pray. And then the last question, who can you tell it to? I don't want you to tell me, hey, everyone. Because guess what, you're not going to tell it to everyone. I want a specific person. I want you to go back to your home, whether it's wherever it is, America, some parts of Cape Town or other parts in South Africa, that you're going to say, hey, if someone say, I'm going to be accountable to go and tell it for Uncle John, then you go and tell it to him. Okay, I've shared, was yesterday morning, a lot of time people will be much more open if you go to them, can I share with you what I've learned from Scripture? Okay? Much more open than you just preaching at them. This method, if I read it, or when I'm asking a question and you do not answer according to the question, this is what will be my question to you. Where do you see this in the passage? So please don't be offended. If I ask you and you cannot show me, simply answer the question. I don't want you to interpret the passage. Okay? The passage must interpret itself. Or the Bible must interpret the passage. So, we're going to start. I don't know your guy's name, and I'm not going to remember that even if you tell me. So, you're going to start in front, Christine. Thank you, Alpha. Then Alpha. Then you in the back. Then we'll continue from that side, Aliska, and so, Christine, can you read 23? Alpha, you'll go the next verse, and we'll go continue.
Acts 21.
No, Acts 4.
Okay, Acts 4.
Yeah. And Acts is it's after Genesis, but before Revelation.
And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them.
And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them.
Who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, said through the Holy Spirit, why did the heavens or Gentiles become wanton and insolent and rage. And the people imagine and study and plan vain things.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers will gather together against the Lord and against his anointed.
But truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, we're gathered together.
To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place.
Now Lord, look on their deeds, on their threats, and grant your servants with all boldness them speak your word.
By stretching out your hand to hear, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.
And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
Thank you. Let me read it to us. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said it by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage? And the people plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they have prayed, the place which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So the first question is, can you retell this passage? Please, guys, someone retell. If someone, maybe that person is leaving some important information that you think is important, please interrupt and just say, this is what else is happening. So who can retell the story? Okay, two of you.
Okay, they were released, they were held captive under arrest, they were released by the Pharisees, and then they came together with their brothers in Christ, and they lifted up their voices, meaning they prayed to the Lord, and they said, Lord, you are almighty, you are sovereign, you know everything, why? And then they quoted from the Old Testament, why do the kings and the nations plot and rage against you? Because you're almighty and you have predestined what has to be taken place through your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And while they were praying, the Holy Spirit came and they were filled with boldness to continue speaking the gospel.
Anyone else? Is there something that you've left out?
It's just they put in contrast what David said about the Gentiles raging against God, and Pontius Pilate and Herod also raging against Jesus, and then as Christian not believing.
Anything else? So what's the next question? What do you find difficult about that? What do you find difficult about this passage? What do you like about this passage?
I like the last verse where it says that they continue to preach your prophets.
Yes, Alpha.
Yes, it's it. Like, I like the 28 where they said Nerol and Pontius Pilate actually are doing this, but they're doing whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So basically, this you're using these people to finish your plan of salvation. They understand that, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
What I like is how the Lord answered their prayers, because they're under persecution or pressure, and then in verse 29 they ask the Lord to grant your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. Okay. And the Lord answered that in verse 31.
Anything else?
What I also like was verse 24, where he said, Sovereign Lord to make the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. So whatever we see the Lord made of it, he's using
Know what else I like about the passage? They are praying. What are they praying? Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's scripture. What were they praying?
The scripture.
So that's what I like about the passage. Now, and there's maybe many, many things that you can think if you go slowly, reading through this passage 6, 7, 8 times that you'll pick up. Now the next question is, what do you find difficult in this passage? Yes?
What I find difficult is when you read the scripture and you don't know the context about what happened before it and where does it come from, because if you don't know, why were they released or why were they arrested or... that's difficult, because then you just plunge in. Or how does this go about? You don't
really
know.
So that's a good observation. If your girlfriend or your wife or someone write you a love letter, where do you start? Page 3. No, it's just the introduction, and then the real meat starts in the middle. No. You start in the beginning.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to know what's going on, but... For the sake of teaching on evangelism, I chose this passage. Okay, I wish we had the whole day, and then we could have gone through some chapters of the book of Acts, but we do not have that. So always start in the beginning. Okay, that you can know the context. What else do you find difficult?
Just the meaning of the one that says, verse 28, to carry out all of your hand, and you will... And purpose had predestined or predetermined should occur. Just because it's hard to grasp your mind around the fact that everything's already planned out.
Yeah. You guys find that difficult? I must say it is. You know, it's not the doctrine from the pit of hell. We find it in this passage. You know, but first of all, how does he start to praise it? Sovereign Lord. Nothing that's going to happen will happen where God is not in control. God's in control. You know, and then, I will later almost I want to start to just to retell the story, but yeah, that's fine. So it's something difficult to understand, you know, in my own life, but I don't think it needs explanation. It's just straightforward. Something hard to get your mind around. Is anything else difficult?
Why do they describe Jesus as your holy servant, since they know that he is the Son of God and he's now Lord who will reign from heaven?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I can answer it, but now my question, does this passage answer it?
Yeah, they also call him
the So you see that Jesus is both the holy servant, yet he's God's anointed one. So just to tell you something outside the book of Acts, Mark, how do they describe Jesus?
As
the suffering servant. As the suffering servant. So he was the servant. Servant to do the will of God, to be obedient to God the Father's will. So, anything else that's difficult to understand?
Probably that in verse 31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken.
But it happened. You know what I think, why it's difficult for us? Because we want to interpret it. No? So sometimes it's just difficult, but it's true.
Yeah, it's interesting because we just think of it like having read this passage, we're like, okay, it was shaken, that happened. But if you actually think about like the people that were there, like it must have been terrifying. Suddenly everything's moving, things must be falling down, maybe people falling over, things breaking. Like there were real people with real emotions that were had to experience that. So I think it's quite good to put ourselves in their shoes.
Yeah. Yes.
The thing about the servant was also in verse 25, he said, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. So your servant, I think, is more a term that it says God is using you. So maybe that's your
okay.
Also, that's it. Used by God.
It's a good observation. So now the thing is, what do we learn about God? There's a lot that we learn, and we must bring it out with this. What do we learn about God in this passage?
He's sovereign.
Oh, sovereign.
In my Bible, it says, Lord, you are God.
Oh.
That's
not
it. So first of all, when you're dealing, and I want to encourage you to maybe take this passage and study it with a Muslim, or you're going to have ancestor worshippers that say, well, there's one ultimate God, but he has different gods, and all of them partake, or people believe that they made creation differently. This is not what the Bible is saying. One God that made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. No? Genesis chapter 1. God is making that. What else do you learn about God?
Shake whatever it wants to, and so on. And heal through Jesus, signs and wonders. It's not something that we can't try to understand that, and try to understand how God does that. But we know that He does that so we can grow in faith. So by those things they might believe. And also when they saw like being shaken by God, it's bringing us to fear God and to respect Him. Bringing them maybe to see God is real.
Daniel, what do you learn about God?
Yes, he's sovereign.
I think we can see his plan of redemption from the beginning of time, like in verse 28, where it says, to do whatever your hand and your plan have predestined to take place. Like, nothing takes God by surprise, like, oh no, this happened, now I have to try and make a solution for it. And he had predestined all of this already before time. So it shows his like all knowledge and his plan to redeem us.
Yes, the other thing I was thinking of was,
okay. Please pay attention also.
How would you answer a question if someone would have asked, if the passage, the one that says, your will and purpose and the predestined thing, how would you answer someone that asks if it means that we don't have a free will?
You don't have free will?
Yeah. That it's all planned out by God, and that you didn't really choose your way.
Okay, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. There's no one that does good, no one seeking after God. So I'm going to give a long answer with a story to explain it. In Genesis chapter 3, what was the command given? There was one command. Feet of that tree, you will surely die. Okay? What did Adam and Eve do?
They
right.
Ate.
What did they do after that? They run and see God?
No.
Hmm? Hide themselves, hidden themselves. Okay, do we see mankind? And that's the rest of the altar. That's the rest of the Bible. Do we go and seek after God after you've sinned?
No.
The same way, the same reason a thief doesn't go and look for the police is that we don't go and look for God. So I don't want you to see it in the negative and say, well, we're predestined and God has thrown the dice. You're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell. God knows no one of us will go to, out of our own sinful nature, will choose Him. Not one of us. Not because of our upbringing, not because of a prayer or because of water that was sprinkled on there. That's not. No one will choose Him. But the passage continues in Genesis chapter 3. What does God do? He comes and look for them.
Mm-hmm.
What else does he do?
He calls them by name.
Hmm. And? Yes, right.
Seriously.
Make clothes for them. Kill the animal. Make clothes. Cover over their nakedness. I don't have time to explain it. But he's making a promise. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Out of the human seed, and I'm paraphrasing, someone will come that will crush the serpent's head. So you see, no one is looking for God. I don't want to say, well, we're predestined. We know that no one is looking.
If I could just add,
yes.
Martin Luther said, are we free to choose what we want? Yes, we are. Do we choose what we ought?
No.
When it comes to salvation, no. So he's in his bondage of the world, he says, of course you choose what to drink, what to wear, what to do, what sins to commit. You choose so many things. We have personal responsibility. Our human responsibility is one truth.
Huh.
But God's sovereignty is another. And when it comes to salvation, we so in bondage to sin that although we do choose what we want,
huh,
we do not choose as we want.
Huh.
Except by the grace of God.
Huh.
So it doesn't take away human responsibility at all.
Yeah.
It just says, in terms of our salvation, it's God who sorts us, God who found us, God who saved us.
And sorry, just to answer on that, and it's going to be a long question, but we see in the books of Acts, you know, they have been in prison. What do they preach? You have killed the offer of life. Therefore, God commands you to repent. You know, it's not how, if you like it or not, God commands everyone everywhere to repent. So don't take human responsibility away. You know, if you want to, God knows who's going to save. Hunter, do you want to add?
I was just going to say, Spurgeon said, it's like an archway. You see, on one side it says, come all of me, or come to me. And then that's the call of the gospel, come to me.
Hmm.
Predestined before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this mystery. We call those to salvation. God does genuinely call people to salvation, but then there's this mystery that He actually predestined them, yet elected them, chosen them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you can just say, oh yeah, we're just predetermined, we're just robots. We still have personality. God's ordained that we have creature freedom. But our freedom doesn't trump the freedom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it does, then we're more powerful. God has created something more powerful than Himself.
You wanted to ask again?
A question on the sideline. Why did they say through the woman's seed and not through
mankind? Okay, then we're going to need to study that passage. I'm on this passage now, if that's fine. I will gladly answer you maybe later today on that passage. Yes, Alpha?
Yes, I was saying that God then also is so sovereign that He can use bad people, Gentiles, to.
Yeah. Okay. What else do you learn about God? Yes.
I see that He does answer our prayers, but
in His own timing. Yeah. If we pray according to His
will.
What is His will? To empower people that they may preach the gospel, that they be saved. That's the will of God. We don't need to pray God if it's your will. Yes.
And I think we can learn about the Trinity, you learn about God, because they talk about they talk about Jesus, the servant, and then they talk about the Holy Spirit when they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, high five for noticing that. That's a good observation. What do you learn about God's Word? A lot of time that how did God empower the people that we know for 100% that it is His Word that we are reading? Do this answer the question? How does it answer it? Can someone read that verse for me?
Through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit.
Ah. Through the mouth of our father David, God spoke to us through David, but by His Holy Spirit. You understand? So it's my answering an important question. You know? What else do you learn about God? Is there anything else? You know, at this time, I would just say, Acts 4, starting that, what Toby briefly explained, they captured the people, and I think, they treated not very nicely. Thrown in jail, you know, and then the attitude they prayed, well, God, you've predestined us, you know, you also predestined your gospel to be preached. Give us boldness. You know, just that God doesn't just want us to sit on a heap and feel sorry for ourselves. He doesn't want us. We need to continue forward, even in our own time. What do we learn about man? The next question. Yes?
They knew they had to ask God for things to see themselves in the world. That's why they asked
God. Where do you see that?
In verse 29. And now Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak with your word
in boldness. They pray for boldness, yes.
Man's heart is against God, naturally.
Yeah.
And evil.
Evil, continually.
It has power when we are praying together.
Yeah? Praying together.
But we need to be dependent on God, otherwise they do nothing.
Where do you see that?
When they're asking for boldness and they're saying how the Gentiles are raging against that one through them. And in 26, where they say in the scripture, they say, why did the nations rage? It was the people, and the people plot vain things. And the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Christ. So they will be against Him.
Mm.
That's how people talk.
And we think we can change God's will, but we're actually just acting according to His will. We're not changing anything. He's using what we're doing for the good of His will.
Yeah. What else do we learn about man, especially in regards to evangelism? Okay, what else do you learn here? Something more important.
Only God gives boldness to share the gospel.
Okay.
On God's name to
yes, what else?
They went out and spoke because that's the last part. And they spoke the word.
They spoke what?
They spoke the word of God.
They spoke the word of God.
Yes.
Now, how many times I've listened and surely God can use it. God used my words that I have spoken and worked in the person's heart. And I don't want to say God's not going to use it, but it's unbiblical to pray that. It's much more biblical to say, God, you say in your word will not return void. So to use scripture in evangelism, to quote scripture, to show them in a passage, you know, and to depend on what? The Holy Spirit for boldness. That you will come and do the work. And convicting people. So I'm maybe going to go to and I think that's the whole thing. They're in trouble. They pray scripture. So you can see their mind have been transformed by the scripture. They only pray scripture, but they ask God, give us boldness to proclaim scripture. You know, not our own cleverly devices, thoughts. And we do see that in the Gospel of Acts. They're using human conversations or knowledge to spring to the gospel. We do see that. But now then, the next question, now that we know this, this truth about God, but you said, what must change in our lives? Yes?
Study the Bible.
Study
it. Know it so that it can
preach. Yeah.
Pray scripture
more. Pray scripture. What more?
What must prevent evangelism?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Otherwise, pray for boldness. You know, these people have just thrown in jail, you know? They have already done it. They have already preached of boldness. They already prayed for boldness. Acts chapter 2. In the beginning of 4 and the end of Acts 3, a lot of people got saved. What did they pray for? For boldness. They does not just, God, I've done it before, you will do it again. If in any way predestined people to get saved. No. Pray for boldness. We ought to pray for boldness. We ought to pray scripture for boldness. You know? We need to know what man is evil. We need to know scripture. What does scripture say? So our mind must be renewed. Romans 12 was the 1 and 2 that our mind renewed and transformed by God. What else must change?
Trust in God.
Trust in God. A lot of times things happen to us. A dog bite you or something, you're getting in a car accident and you doubt, is this the will of God? Well, it happens, so it must be the will of God. But to trust Him even when things go wrong. We do need to trust Him. Even you might go out on a mission, you get caught by the enemy, you're thrown in prison. Well, did they act according to the will of God? Or did they, and sometimes God used situations because we've sinned. But we are now in that situation. What do we need to do? Of the bad things happened to people like us that trust in Jesus Christ, we ought to proclaim God's gospel to the nations. If you need to know, quoting scripture, I think it's very important, this passage. Yes?
Will we also lay our hands on the sick when we do this?
Sorry?
Stretching out our hands to heal and the signs and wonders.
Yeah. You see, now we want to interpret.
No, I'm not interpreting.
But maybe, do we see this happening in the book of Acts? Yes, we do. You know? And it happens in that time. So I don't want to go on something, other discussion, but are we to pray for the sick? The book of James said. Anoint them. Sorry?
Yeah, I think that'd be opening up a whole new lecture.
Yeah. But yeah.
John's
going to
get into that.
Okay. So, yeah.
And we mustn't be lazy when they were being let go, when they got out of prison, they went to their companions and talked and reported.
If we were in that situation, we'd have liked to take a free week or 3 months holiday just to recover. Not them. Yes, 2 minutes left. So, who can we go and tell? Who can we tell what we've learned? Yes, Aliska.
When we go on an outreach, we can listen to the short conversation.
Yeah.
We stand somewhere in the line or whatever. So, but I think with this going to tell to others, like to remember, let's say, on repentance, and you do the discovery Bible study from different places of the Bible, and sometimes you get into a topic when you talk to someone about it's a repentance or anything. Not to retell the whole thing, but just to remember those things that fits in with that topic. That's important for them too.
And I think if you have learned it, then the Lord would show you on the right, in the right time. Then you bring it back to you, then you can share that. Because if you have it with you, then you can share it.
Yes.
I didn't go and tell my parents and my older sister because even what's happening in our lives now, I can tell that God has predestined whatever is happening to you.
Exactly, yeah. I don't think that when it says that who can you share it with, I don't think it necessarily has to be unbelievers. This is a passage that's encouraging for believers as well, so we can share it with fellow like brothers and sisters in Christ as well, to encourage each other and to inspire one another to be obedient to the word of God.
Well, that's my time. I hope you guys will not just be hearers of the word of God, but people actually do what God's scripture is saying. Yes, Alpha.
Saying that everything that happens is the will of God.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Islam, how it started and how it succeeded. And Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you say all that is the will of God?
For the will of God. Does this passage answer the question?
That means it's the will of God.
Does this? It doesn't mean that God is pleased with our sin and things.
But
it means God is allowing it and that he people can go and proclaim. But don't say, well, God is pleased for Islam and God is pleased for Jehovah's Witnesses and God is pleased for me to live with my girlfriend in a sexual relationship although I'm a Christian. No. That is not God meaning that he is allowing it doesn't mean that he is pleased by it.
Yes.
So don't say, well, God is allowing me to live in sin. Therefore, it's okay.
Jesus was crucified on the cross. Do you think he pleased him?
No. He allowed it to happen.
God allows
people to
sometimes continue in their wrongness. So that on the day of judgment, they can't say that they are innocent.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the passage, but I can tell you it's not Acts chapter 4. Verse 23 to 31. So it's not the one that we studied. But let's pray. Who would like to close for us in prayer? And maybe you can pray from what you've learned from this passage. Please, Toby. Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we may have your word, Lord, so that we can see and not only see but understand what happened in the New Testament time, Lord. Help us to learn out of your word through your Holy Spirit that we as well, who are not only your children through adoption, but your servants as well, that we will proclaim your word with boldness, Lord. And we know we need your Holy Spirit to do that. Help us not to relax, but to stay awake and be on our guard for every opportunity.
Amen.